Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. It is a packed show today. We are going to welcome the pediatric director from America's Frontline Doctors, Dr. Angie Ferrella, will be here to respond to the CEO at Pfizer, who has announced that they are going to start injecting kids as young as 5 years old. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, an exclusive with Juanita Broderick. She's going to expose the deep state and how powerful they really are. Quick reminder that the show is brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management, an independent fiduciary. If you are doing business with a big box advisor, if you're doing business with one of the household names, a big bank, a corporate conglomerate, remember that you are essentially doing business with the Chinese communist advisor. The reason being, Joe Biden is manipulated and controlled. He has been bought and paid for by the CCP. Joe Biden's administration manipulates Wall Street. Wall Street then in turn incentivizes these advisors to jam you into the box of the products that they have. Not an independent fiduciary, specifically not an America First Patriot independent fiduciary like Carlos Cortez. Visit him online right now at CortezWM.com. Do business with a God-fearing patriot. CortezWM.com, home of the America First Retirement Plan, Cortez Wealth Management. The Stu Peters Show starts right now. Remind you to follow me over on Telegram. That's because that is the real channel of truth, the uncensorship. I was banned from Facebook. I got the notification this morning for featuring a doctor from Mexico who told me that he had successfully treated thousands of COVID patients, cured them using a form of treatment other than the vaccine that the globalists would like to push on you. We're going to get right into the program today. Dr. Angie Ferrella is joining us. She is the pediatric medical director for America's Frontline Doctors. She's been a pediatrician for 25 years and has given over 10,000 vaccines to pediatric patients. This COVID injection, however, is much, much different. Now, you may recognize Ferrella from her recent testimony in front of lawmakers, where she reminded everyone that the rotavirus vaccines were halted after just 15 cases of reported adverse reactions, and the swine flu vaccines were halted after just 25 deaths. The death toll from these COVID injections is soaring into the tens of thousands, and doctors are still being silenced. Dr. Ferrella is blessed to advance medicine with the America's Frontline Doctors Organization, which consists of a team of doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, pilots, investigative journalists, and warrior citizens to spread awareness and save as many lives as possible. Dr. Ferrella joins us now. Doctor, thank you so much for being here. We certainly appreciate your time. Pfizer's CEO tweeted yesterday with a tone of extreme excitement that the company intends to start injecting kids as young as 5 years old. Now, you're an extremely qualified, experienced pediatrician. To him and to this idea, what say you?
It's absolutely insane to me. We have, in this country, have lost our sense, our common sense. Children are the buffer. Children are not the spreaders. They are not the ones that are actually contracting the disease. And we see this. We've seen this even from over a year ago in the reports from China. These children were the buffer, which basically means that they somehow blocked the virus from getting to their loved ones. So this whole thing about vaccinating children for a disease that they have a 99.997% survivability to just doesn't make any sense.
I just want to get something clear here. Did you basically just say, and I got to go lay terms here, did you say that kids are not actually spreading the virus, but they're spreading immunity from the virus?
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, they're a buffer. So what happens is because kids get little colds all the time. So in a cold in the past, coronavirus is one of those viruses that causes the common cold. So experts tell us that up to half of our kids are already immune. So 25 to 50% of our children are already immune to coronavirus, which is why they don't contract the disease. I mean, they also have some thymus, and so they have great T cell immunity and things of that nature. But these kids, we're not pre-checking them to see if they're immune. Because if they're immune, you don't vaccinate for a disease that you're already immune to, just like in chickenpox. So if a kiddo has chickenpox and they walk into my office, they are exempt for the rest of their lives from a chickenpox vaccine. You don't vaccinate someone for a disease you've already had. And that makes sense in an adult population as well. if you had coronavirus and you actually survived it and you came on the other side, you do not need to be vaccinated. People, this is inherently out of whack.
People oftentimes say to me, or they'll email me, or, you know, they'll troll my various social media accounts, and they'll say, you know, dear anti-vaxxer, which I'm not. I'm not an anti-vaxxer at all. But they will say that, and then they will follow it with, there are risks with every vaccine. To those people, and then relating it to this particular injection being falsely referred to as a vaccine, what would you say?
Well, I'm definitely not an anti-vaxxer, not at all. I mean, I have vaccinated thousands and thousands and thousands of children over my 25-year career. I'm very pro-vaccine, actually, because I have seen what unvaccinated people, I used to do medical stuff overseas and abroad and stuff. So I'm a very strong vaccinating physician. That's not the issue. The issue is that it's actually dangerous. And here's the thing that upsets me. You know, back in the day in 1999, I was a physician even back then. And I remember the higher ups telling me, hey, go check the fridges. We got to pull rotavirus. There was an issue. So I was like, okay, I went and pulled all the rotavirus. And so what I thought about at that time was, wow, you know what? These companies are really trying to protect our kids. This is, you know, safety is the utmost. And for a pediatrician, we feel that way. We feel that, you know, the safety of our children are so important. You know, they're 30% of our population. They're 100% of our future. We've got to protect the kids. That is the point. So when this came through, and this is a biological agent, it doesn't work the same way as other vaccines do. You know, they claimed that it would stay in the arm and that's where you would get your responses. It's not, it's circulating. We have absolute proof that it is actually circulating throughout the entire system. That is not safe for children at all. It's not safe for anybody, especially not children, especially when you're looking at the fact that, again, they have basically a 99.997% survivability under the age of 20. So let's go beyond childhood, up to age 20. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, when they say, well, you have a risk with anything. Well, sure, I understand that. But when you're looking at some of the safety data, which of course they're burying and they don't want to talk about, you know, this vaccine has only been out, what, 6 months or so? And we have over 5,000 deaths and no one is scratching their head. And that's only the ones that are reported. Only the ones that are reported, which we know that is a very small percentage.
And I want to say, regarding the reporting, I just want to say the Harvard study suggests that 1% or less are being reported. 1% or less, and we have 5,000 of them reported. Let me remind you that these trials and that the implementation of this vaccination process were halted in the swine flu for 25 deaths. 25. We are now at over 5,000, and that represents only 1%. We're joined by Dr. Angie Ferrella. She's the pediatric director at America's Frontline Doctors. There are a lot of nurses, a lot of healthcare workers, a lot of doctors that are pro this vaccine. Why is that?
I really think they just don't have the information. You know, VAERS is not something that is common. As pediatricians, most of us should know about VAERS, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. This is a CDC system. This is something that we are required to report any vaccine injury, anything that we think might be connected to the vaccine, okay? Any vaccine, not just COVID. I'm talking about this has been in place for many, many years. So it is super important for people to understand that there's a lot of doctors that never even heard of VAERS before this year. A lot of people don't even know that it exists. So that's part of the problem. And the other part of the problem is people like me are being, you know, shadow blocked. And, you know, I keep trying to explain this to people that you don't vaccinate people that have already had a disease and recovered from it. And I'm considered, you know, a heretic with that. But this is exactly what we do in pediatrics. If you've had chickenpox, you don't get the chickenpox vaccine. It's really simple. So the whole gambit of how everything is being distorted is really disturbing. you know, the difference between what an antibody response is versus a T cell response is. These are things that have been over and over again suppressed in the media or downplayed. And I really think that if you look around, most physicians nowadays, and you can look up the stats, most physicians nowadays are employed. They're employed by large university systems. And they are afraid, those that are actually thinking maybe the way I think, they won't come out and say anything because they will lose their job. I mean, we see this with Houston Methodist right now. I know there are doctors that think the way I do. I know there are doctors that don't want to endanger their patients. I know that. I absolutely know that.
People have said that there is a concern that the pediatric death toll from the injections itself may overreach the death toll from the COVID virus itself. Do you share that concern?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the other thing. It may not be something that happens today or tomorrow or in 2 weeks. We have already seen pediatric deaths. We've already seen them. We've had kids that had heart attacks, kids that have strokes. Kids don't have heart attacks. Kids don't have strokes. This is very upsetting to me. Myocarditis has been noted since the Israeli studies. And they're ignoring it. Children are going to the hospital with myocarditis after receiving the vaccine, and they're ignoring it. Myocarditis is not mild. That is an inflammation of the heart muscle. And children cannot live without their heart for very long. Let me tell you that. This has implications, not just for today. It has implications. These kids have decades to live yet.
We have seen reports
of heart disease further on.
Reports of infertility. I mean, your daughters that you are injecting could live a life where they're unable to bear children. That is catastrophically, psychologically, irreparably damaging for so many people that deal with. I mean, we look at suicides of women who cannot birth children. It's their life goal. That's what they want to do. But that side effect is far less dangerous than what you're highlighting here with myocarditis. Now, if you look on the internet and you search myocarditis, one of the first things that appears is the COVID-19 quote vaccine. That's because it's so searched globally, the connection between the two. Every article that you will find will talk about quote mild cases of myocarditis. You're a medical professional, you're a doctor, you're very well studied. I've looked at your resume. You're incredibly qualified to opine on this, and you have said that there's no such thing as a mild case of myocarditis. You only get one heart.
I don't even understand how the media can spin that, because I've heard that a couple of times on mainstream media where they're saying, well, it's mild myocarditis. Well, show me the delineation of what mild versus severe is, because severe means a heart attack, and we've had kids that have heart attacks. This is ridiculous. And we're not just talking about myocarditis. How about the encephalitis? This vaccine or biological agent crosses the blood-brain barrier. It causes meningitis, encephalitis, neurologic problems. We have it documented. It's crazy. It's causing basal ganglia hemorrhage. I mean, this is so sad. I can't even begin to tell you how gut-wrenching this is for me. My job as a pediatrician, first of all, it's not a job for me. This has always been a calling. I'm not going to be one of those doctors that makes a bajillion dollars. I'm not a surgeon. I'm a pediatrician. I have been an advocate for children since day one, square one. And this is my duty to stand up and protect the country's children, because this is ridiculous. And I have gone up to school boards. Even our local school district did not listen to me. They opened up a shot clinic in our gyms, in our local ISD's gyms. You know, this is not good. And, you know, pre-screen these kids. A lot of these kids were exposed. So we see that in exposure that may have led to either an asymptomatic or a very mild symptomatic case that they didn't even notice. Those kids are immune. And we're not pre-screening to see if anyone's immune either. And we know that if you are recovered COVID, that you have a 2 to 3 times chance of having a very severe adverse event.
Horrific.
And we're ignoring it.
I know your time is limited, and we value your time. And we, first of all, I want to say on behalf of myself, my family, and for this entire viewing audience, there are millions of people here, although they are not able to openly opine this and say it because they'll be banned. They right. thank you. And living up to your oath is so much more valuable than any millions of dollars that you illustrated that you are not privy to because you're a pediatrician. Right. Your work is God's work, and we really appreciate that. I want to ask you two final questions. One is the CDC. They are saying that unequivocally, absolutely no, magnetism cannot occur at the injection site or anywhere else as a result of this injection. Now, I know that doctors have been skeptical. They have been hesitant to opine on this. This magnetism thing is kind of a sideshow. I don't really know what's going on there, but how can you deny thousands of self-recorded videos all over the internet of people showing metal objects sticking to themselves? To this magnetism, what do you say?
Well, here's the thing, because I actually asked someone much smarter than me about this the other day. And, you know, when you get injected, you actually can cause a hematoma, which is, you know, a little bit of bleeding. Well, you know, your red cells have iron in them. And so there may be something to do with that, because we actually had one of our scientists on our group who gave himself an injection, and then he demonstrated that he can get something to stick to him. So it's probably more of a normal physiologic thing than actually the vaccine. So because he did not inject himself, let me be clear, did not use the vaccine. He injected himself with something else, and he was able to demonstrate the same thing. And he's also done some experiments in his laboratory. He's a pathophysiologist or pathologist. And he was trying to, he has all three vaccines, and he was trying to check the magnetism, and he says, no, it's not there. He says he thinks it's more of a physiological issue with a hematoma.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. And then second, you said that in your particular area where you live, the school district, the school board decided not to listen to a doctor, to ignore the advice or the caution or warning from a medical professional. They're acting as medical professionals themselves. They're administering medicine against the advice of a qualified pediatrician. This is happening all over the country, and then the media in turn is covering it up. I know that, and tell me if you're not comfortable speculating here. Why is there such a big cover-up? Why is it so sensitive? Why can I not ask questions about this vaccine? Why is everybody being banned from asking the questions?
That's an awesome question, because I have that same exact question. I don't understand why we've got hijacked. You know, the medical community has gotten hijacked. When you monetize science and monetize medicine, you're going to get this kind of thing, because now you have a conflict of interest. You know, a lot of these large companies pour money into large university institutions. Okay. And so, you know, we always say, follow the money.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that these universities that are requiring proof of inoculation are receiving financial blowback kickbacks for forcing this inoculation? Or is that what you're saying?
Just in general. I mean, research in general, a lot of large corporations will give grants to university systems in order to do some research. And so this is not unusual. We see this a lot. And unfortunately, in not particularly COVID per se, but you do know that they get money for injecting the vaccine, right? Because we, the taxpayer, have already paid for the vaccines. That's not the issue. So the big companies have already paid for those vaccines. That's not an issue. But they're using money. So, you know, I've heard up to $40 per shot is given to the places that they are injecting people. So if you do the math, that's a lot of money for a company. You know, why is it? Here's a question for you. Why is it that a lot of doctor's offices cannot administer the vaccine, but CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid can? Why can a school district do it? And under what auspice? When I questioned our school board, they told me that they didn't vote on that, and that the superintendent was the one who did it on his own, because he's the one that's in charge of the facilities when there's no school going on during the summer.
The superintendent is also in charge of the budget.
That's what I said.
And the superintendent's job is on the line if that for-profit business by the taxpayers is not run appropriately. He has a bottom line and a budget to maintain. And if he doesn't do it to the satisfaction of those that oversee him, his watchdogs, he'll lose his job. Interesting.
So there you go. I'm very scared. Well, and I even told the school board, I said, do you understand that if something happens to any of those people that you are injecting them with this vaccine, that you're liable. And that's the other thing, is the liability issues here are huge. And I've been a huge proponent over the last couple of years. This is not my first rodeo, me screaming about immunizations and the inappropriateness of them being given at a pharmacy. You know, the pharmacists are not equipped. They're not trained in case of an emergency. And that's one of my big problems. They are not given informed consent. We didn't even touch on that, Stu. I mean, informed consent is huge. People do not even realize they are still a part of an experiment. If they receive this vaccine, they are not told this is not FDA approved. They don't understand that. And that in itself is a major problem. They do not understand that this might cause myocarditis, encephalitis, meningitis, and other horrible things, bleeding disorders, bleeding dyscrasias, clots, name it.
And aside from the monetary kickbacks and the compensation and things like that, you also have social pressure. Think of all of the people that work in the healthcare community, nurses, doctors, aides, assistants, techs, radiologists, all of these people that go to that environment every day that are pressured to take this thing because of social pressure. No, you're not required to, but if you don't, there's going to be consequences, whether they have something to do with your scheduling, your pay, whether or not you make it onto the schedule, or ultimately if you are employed or have friends at your place of employment, because you're the tinfoil hat, you're the weirdo, you're denying science. I did my research before I got this vaccination. No. You are the research. She is the pediatric medical director at America's Frontline Doctors. Dr. Angie Ferrella, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
I want to remind you, the show is brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management, an independent fiduciary out of the Sunshine State of Florida. No matter where you are, you can do business with Cortez Wealth Management. An independent fiduciary is important because he can build a custom box around you. Now listen, the globalists, these tyrants, this communist machine known as the United States federal government is coming for your guns, they're coming for your freedom and liberty, and they are coming for your money, specifically your retirement money, and they're coming for it fast. Carlos Cortez has a way to stop it, and he's going to tell you for free how to do that tomorrow in a special online class that he's doing for patriots only. Go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, that's AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. It costs you nothing. Use the password Cortez. When you go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, use the password Cortez. It's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 7:30 p.m. Central. You can do the math from there. You can do it in your pajamas. You can do it with a cocktail. You can do it with your wife. You can do it all alone. You can do it at home. You can do it with Dr. Seuss. It doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it. I can't stress enough. They're coming for your retirement dollars, and you do not want to let them strip everything from you and from your kids and your grandkids and the future generations and your family. Go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Enter the password Cortez when you go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. The power of the deep state, we talk about it every single day. We talk about the ability to pull the wool over our eyes, the continuous psyops. We have natural occurrences that we deal with every day. There are threats out here that we face on a global scale all the time. Yesterday, we spoke with Chris Sky in Canada. This isn't just about the United States. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. This thing is so much bigger because not only do we have the natural threats that we face, but we also face manufactured threats. Those threats come from the deep state. Nobody knows more about the power of the deep state than Juanita Broderick. She was relentlessly pursued by the world's most notorious crime family after Bill Clinton raped her. They tried to coerce her into silence. They showed up at venues where Juanita was speaking, sneaking into back rooms, having Juanita go into these other rooms where then Bill or Hillary would show up. You're not going to ruin our lives, are you? They pulled her aside. They tried tirelessly to make her life a living hell. She tells some of those horrific stories and really highlights the influence of these globalists in her book, You'd Better Put Some Ice on That, How I Survived Being Raped by Bill Clinton. It's available on Amazon. Go get it. Juanita, thank you so much for being here. I was texting with you yesterday. We had some technical difficulties. You were scheduled to be here, some internet stuff, things beyond our control. Maybe they know that we're trying to talk and get your message out here. And I hope that with our text messages, I don't want to get too personal in a public space. So if you're not comfortable, that's fine. But one thing that I continue to think about that it keeps resonating, you said that what keeps you up at night is thinking about what kind of a world your grandson will grow up in. And I think that that's just really the feeling that we all have here today, because it comes in the wake of a tweet yesterday from Pfizer's CEO. They want to start injecting our kids now as young as 5 years old. 86% of the Pfizer trial participants, the 12 to 17-year-old age group, had adverse reactions to this jab. I mean, it seems like our kids cannot escape this targeting. How do we protect them?
Oh, my goodness. It's really the big question right now, Stu. You know, I grew up, you're much younger, but I grew up when there wasn't any of these worries, you know, that we had back in the 50s. I can't imagine what children go through right now. If you saw that tweet the other day that the man was trying to get the mask off of his young child that was in bed because they were so frightened, they didn't want the virus to come and get them in their sleep. I mean, is that horrific what they've done to our children? I worry about my grandson. He finally got to take his mask off on the last day of school. Is that when other schools all around were maskless? They didn't even have the mask. I live in Arkansas, and we're just pretty much behind Florida, but it was much more relaxed for us here, except in the schools. I could not get over how they were still having these children go through sports, go through their classes, and have to keep the mask on. Ridiculous.
Psychologically detrimental, almost irreparably, it seems. And
yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with science. If we want to go based on sheer numbers here, kids have never really been a threat of the so-called virus that, by the way, we now know was man-engineered and did come out of the Fauci and Obama-funded Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. We were tinfoil hats then. But this has never really been about safety and health. This has always been about control and compliance, has it not?
Oh, yes, exactly. I do not believe that they were trying to protect the public by having us wear masks and for having us stay at home and all these lockdowns. They wanted to control us, Stu, and they succeeded. I mean, most of the people were like sheep. So many of us fought against us. And then you had that thought in the back of your mind, what if I get this? What, you know, am I going to die? That's what they threatened us with. I had COVID. It was very mild. And there is no way that I'm ever going to take that experimental vaccine. And it's not even a vaccine. We know that. I mean, I have all the antibodies I need for a lifetime. And they never distinguish or differentiate between those that have had COVID. They want everybody to take it. And there's too much science right now that says if you've had COVID, you should not take the vaccine.
Have you ever seen something that you know to be deadly that requires so much advertising to remind you of its existence? I mean, 24 hours a day, this virus is being pushed in our face. If it was so deadly, if it was so dangerous, we would know of its existence and everybody would be tripping over themselves to go get inoculated. But now I'm almost in a position, Juanita, where I'm thinking that we will be shocked at the number of deaths by the vaccine, as I think that they will grow to be greater than those who perished from the virus itself.
Oh, I know. And Stu, the most important thing is we don't actually know, even from the CDC or WHO, exactly how many deaths were the result of COVID.
Right.
Too many people died that were going to die anyway from diseases that they were suffering with. But I think it's going to be years before we know the actual death toll. And what was it? 99.6% survival rate?
It's 99.97 right now.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at states like California who are backing off on their COVID death numbers, too little, too late. Almost 25% of the people that they ruled a COVID death are not being ruled COVID deaths anymore. A Milwaukee healthcare whistleblower months ago came out and said, hey, we're mislabeling these things. There's a financial incentive here for these healthcare providers. They're for-profit businesses. All of this is, I mean, look at in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo did not use the resources provided to him by the president of the United States because it was for political optics. Instead, he sent tens of thousands of geriatrics to their death, helpless people. Anybody else, Andrew Cuomo, Anthony Fauci, who was exchanging emails with a woman named Christina Cassetti, asking her to cover up or discredit viable actual treatments that stopped the spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, nitric oxide. Any of these other people responsible for the blood on their hands of tens of thousands in Cuomo's case, millions of global citizens in Anthony Fauci's case, would be hanged in the gallows similar to Saddam Hussein. These people are running around free, it seems, immune to any civil or criminal liability. He ought to be, they both ought to be arrested and tried for crimes against humanity. Why do they continue to get this immunity for any kind of accountability?
Oh, it has to do with the government that we're being controlled with right now. I don't believe that I believe that Big Pharma has a lot to do with the control that we see. I think this is all about a vaccine. I think you're going to take the first shot, you're going to take the second shot, and they're going to want you to take a booster every year. This is in the billions upon billions of dollars of business. And that's what I see it as. You know, I think it's, listen, I own nursing homes for 40 years. If my governor had told me I have to take COVID patients into my home, my nursing home, in order to receive the Medicare or the Medicaid payment, I would have hired a lawyer immediately. I don't know why these nursing homes in Michigan and some other states and New York, why they complied. I mean, the fear at the time that he ordered this to happen was so high. Did they not know what they were doing to those poor residents in their home?
I would like to know and really get to the bottom of, I'm asking for any healthcare whistleblowers, any whistleblowers inside of these big corporations, college universities, to come forward and just be honest and say, we are doing this because we are being paid to do it. That has to be what's happening here. You just follow the money. I worked as an investigator for 18 years, and when you are looking to identify the main suspect in a crime, investigating 101 is you step back and you look at who had what to gain by the commission of the crime.
Yes.
You follow the money. These universities that are saying students, our young children, Juanita, our young adults, rather, that are going to college, the only way I've heard from nursing students, we know that nursing programs are some of the most competitive things on the face of the planet. Getting into them is, and now they're making these kids, these young adults, prove that they have received the injection. I mean, they're making them force themselves to go do something that they know they could be risking their lives based on information that continues to just rush out every day. And we have proven that the CDC is lying. They say, no, it won't magnetize you. How many thousands of videos have we seen of people sticking metal objects to themselves on their foreheads, on their arms, at the injection site? They're lying.
Yes.
I got banned from Facebook today. I got my notification this morning. I cannot post for 7 days now, Juanita, because I featured a doctor who has saved thousands of lives using another method of treatment. And because I allowed him to speak, I have been banned for 7 days. Why is the truth so banned?
Oh, it's that way on Twitter and Facebook. And who knows how much longer that's going to go on. I get that every week on Twitter. I'm suspended for 12 hours at a time. If I mention the vaccine, I mean, I'm not saying, hey, you know, don't go take it. I'm just telling people about what the CDC has said about it. It's truly amazing. I saw your program on Dr. Jane. She's a good friend. I thought that was great. She just did an excellent job of explaining the magnetism.
Yeah, Dr. Jane Ruby is a very responsible medical expert. Yes. She's not here for shock value or hyperbole. She's here to try to educate people, and people ought to listen to her. There are many brave doctors globally coming forward, experts, saying, just wait, just hold on a minute. We have information, and they are being censored, deleted, canceled, banned at every turn.
Yes.
When you hear,
and if they had just listened to Scott Atlas, when he was working for President Trump, had all the information that we're finding out now. He believed in the hydroxychloroquine. He believed in herd immunity. I mean, if they had just stopped the lockdowns and let people get out, herd immunity would have taken on months ago. I mean, I really thought a lot of everything that he said.
President Trump's social media ban, I don't believe has anything to do with the grandma selfie party, the guided tour at the Capitol that the liberal left would like you to believe was a violent Trump cop-killing insurrection. I believe that they knew that they had to gain the compliance of the control of the global population by instilling fear into them using this virus to do so. They needed to push people to the vaccine. And Trump was an advocate for alternative solutions and treatments to this. He still is. As a matter of fact, people saying, why is Trump continuing to push this? Well, first of all, Operation Warp Speed was a tremendous success. It enabled people to manufacture treatments for something without the bureaucratic globalist red tape. They were able to do something that they thought was going to be good for people. He is getting bad information by the people that are closest to him, i.e. Jared Kushner. He doesn't have all of this information. President Trump would never push you to your death. And he could strike a blow for freedom right now by saying, make your own decision. But he doesn't have the platform to do it anymore. And that, I think, is the real reason why people like the names Soros, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Clinton, Obama, Gates, Medici, Fauci, these people now have the complete control over social media because of the money that people like Zuckerberg and Dorsey are getting funded by these people. Laura Loomer called out Jack Dorsey at a Bitcoin event. I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah.
And still he hasn't addressed any of this censorship. They say they're not censoring anybody, but damn it, they are. And when you hear names like the names that I just mentioned, nobody knows the deep state like you do, so I'm going to shut up here. When you hear names like Soros, Clinton, Obama, Gates, Medici, Fauci, what do you think about?
Oh, I think about the deep state. There's nothing else that you can think of. And the deep state, even though it's unofficial, and even though Wikipedia says that it's a conspiracy theory, we know. We know that it's true. We know that these people, with their billions of dollars, influence politicians, and they do it with money, they do it with blackmail, they do it with anything they can to get the right legislation that they want that puts more money in their pockets. But the big thing is control. To control the world is what they want to do.
They're using Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
People are falling in love with their abusers, with their captors. That is the government.
Very good point.
Now,
Nobody
knows that game better than you. You write about it in your book. By the way, get the book. You'd better put some ice on that. Juanita Broderick goes full truth inside of this book. She was raped by Bill Clinton. They still want to try to shut you up about that.
Yeah.
How many years later? Biden's victim. We believe her. Everybody ought to be heard, which brings me to my next point. What is Kamala Harris doing? I mean, here we have the most radical senator. Yeah, nothing, but she is. Because here she is going and meeting with somebody like Bill Clinton about empowering women.
Oh, yeah.
The blatant hypocrisy.
I could not believe it. And when she met with him about empowering women, I tweeted and posted and the regular media, the mainstream media, very few had anything negative to say about that. They went on with their meeting, and this man is a serial sexual predator. And Kamala Harris had even admitted that she believed Tara Reid when Tara Reid came through with her story. But that's when Kamala was running against Joe Biden for the nomination. How in the world they ever ended up with Kamala Harris as the vice president, I'll never know. I never understand it.
How in the world people can believe her? She came out telling people she was black, that she was African American. She is not.
Yes. No, Indian.
She came out telling people that she believed Tara Reid, and now she says she doesn't. But Tara Reid's telling the truth.
I know. It's absolute. But that's how they operate. They say whatever they need to say for whatever the purpose is for that day. Can you believe that when she was asked when she was going to the border by Lester Holt, that she said... He said, well, you haven't been. And she said, well, I haven't been to Europe yet. What an idiotic answer. Can you believe that?
She's an idiot.
Yes.
She's a globalist. She's part of the deep state. She's easily bought and paid for. She's manipulated and controlled by the globalists that want to kill us. At the end of the day, that is what it is. Do you think that's their end game? I mean, we look at 1930s Germany. There are so many similarities happening here. They want to line you up. They want to take your lawfully owned guns from your grip. They want to traffic your children. They want to drink their blood. I mean, isn't that their end game?
Oh, yes, it is. It's control. They do not want a conservative or a Republican to ever be in control again. That's the ultimate goal. They want to stomp us out of existence. And if we don't wake up and get very active at our local and our state level and try to do something about this, we've got to speak up. If you've got a child or a grandchild and you don't like the CRT or what's going on in the school, you need to be at that next school board meeting. And you need to be there to help support other parents that are there speaking out. We've got to do something, Stu, and it's got to start at a local level.
I agree. Your time is extremely appreciated by me and by everybody that listens to us. Before you go, if you were to be unable to speak ever again after this talk, what would you want to make sure that everyone on the planet knows?
That is a very difficult question. I think right now everybody knows what happened with Bill Clinton and myself back in 1978. They know this. When Michelle Goldberg came out with the New York Times in 2017 and says, I believe Juanita, I mean, it just snowballed from there. People know it, but the Clintons are still too powerful. I think that the main thing that people need to think about is protecting your young daughters, your young granddaughters, and make sure they understand that there are monsters out there that will take advantage of them.
Juanita Broderick, you are an incredibly strong, incredibly brave woman. We honor you for that. We know that you're telling the truth, and we thank you for your message and your patriotism. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Stu. I enjoyed being with you.
I have told you in the past, the best way to support this platform is by supporting our sponsors, rather than just giving us money directly, which, by the way, we appreciate it when you do, but instead, you support our sponsors who pay us to be on the air, and then that way you get something great in return, because everybody that sponsors this program is an America First, God-fearing patriot, and all of the services that they offer, all of the products that you'll enjoy from them are things that can help you and that you will really enjoy, for example, at steponsocks.com. By the way, you can pre-order the brand new Trader Joe version. Yes, that's right. Joe Biden, the incapacitated, mentally inept weirdo, child hair sniffing pervert, his name written on the bottom so you can step on Trader Joe all day long. Of course, the classic legacy version is over there. All of the globalist communists that you want to step on all day long, you can step on these snakes. Fauci, Gates, Biden, Obama, the Clinton crime family, Pelosi, all of their names on the bottom. And then what you do, it'll drive your liberal friends, if there is such a thing as a liberal friend, liberal acquaintances. How about that? It will drive them absolutely nuts. When you take your shoes off, you kick your feet up, and you got Step-On socks on. Make a statement. Do it today. Go to steponsocks.com for $17.76. You get a 3-pack. Mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. I was made aware this morning that I am banned from Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg's people over there fact-checked me because I allowed for a doctor to speak. A doctor. A doctor who claimed that he has successfully treated thousands of people, cured them of COVID-19. This would be something that you would think that fellow Americans would want us to know about, that there is a cure for the virus that they claim is going to end the world. It is the most contagious, most deadly virus that we have ever seen in our lives. It completely shut down a world economy. The entire globe was shut down because of this. And now a doctor comes forward saying, hey, I have a cure for this thing. We have treated, myself and a few hundred other doctors have treated over 100,000 people with this method, and it has cured them. Also, this cure, this method of treatment, has absolutely no risk associated with it whatsoever. People cannot die. People are not having adverse side effects. People are not falling ill to. No Guillain-Barré diagnosis, no paralysis, no death as a result of this treatment. 100% effective, almost 99.3%. He has treated every age group from the unborn zero all the way up to 105. I allowed him to tell that tremendous story of success on this program yesterday. And as a result of that, I have been banned. There is no other way to really word this. They want you dead. Let that sink in. They want you dead. Here is a person, a doctor, a qualified individual, sounding the alarm, saying, I've got it. And they don't want the word to get out. They want you dead. They want to line you up and they want to execute you. But they can't because there are over 300 million guns in this country and they know that. So how do they do it? Fear. They make you run toward a needle, trip over each other, physically fight with one another to get to the front of the line to be inoculated, injected with a substance that, by the way, they hold no liability for its effect. Why do you think that was so carefully planned? Who is being compensated for this? Is it Christina Cassetti? If any other person on the face of the planet had the blood on their hands of millions of people because they withheld treatment, because they discredited things that would kill or stop the transmission of SARS-CoV-2 or any other virus, they would be right next to Saddam Hussein, swinging by their necks. Why is Anthony Fauci running around free? Why is Mark Zuckerberg continuing to silence the truth on his platform while maintaining that he is the platform of free speech? Jack Dorsey's doing the same thing. Laura Loomer hit him over the head at a Bitcoin conference of all places. They are the enemy of the people and they want you dead. Joining us now to talk about Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, President Trump, is Deanna Lorraine. She's the best-selling author. You can get that book and more of her truths at DeannaLorraine.com. She authored the book, Taking Back America. Deanna, I'm pissed off.
I'm beyond pissed off. I didn't get sleep last night because I'm so pissed off. I was fuming and reeling in my bed, wondering what the hell happened. How did this happen? How did these tech tyrants, globalists, get away with what they're doing? I know. Here was a release from President Trump yesterday. And I don't know if you saw this, but to be honest, I'm utterly shocked when I read this. And it makes me so fumed up. Can I read this?
Go ahead. Yeah, please.
Okay, so this is the release. This is a post from President Trump yesterday, speaking on behalf of this. He says, congratulations to the country of Nigeria, who just banned Twitter because they banned their president, which is true. So they banned Twitter. More countries should ban Twitter and Facebook for not allowing free and open speech. All voices should be heard. Yes, duh. No Sherlock. In the meantime, competitors will emerge and take hold. Well, we know they kind of can't because every time there's been a competitor, they've been beaten down by Apple, et cetera, and Google Play. But anyways, who are they to dictate good and evil if they themselves are evil? Perhaps I should have done it while I was president, but Zuckerberg kept calling me and coming to the White House for dinner, telling me how great I was. 2024? I'm sorry, Stu, but this is a lot to unpack, okay? I've been the most ardent, loyal Trump supporter for the past 4+ years. And no matter what you say or how much you feel about Trump, this is a disgusting statement. It is truly indefensible. So he is saying that instead of fighting on behalf of the American people and free speech and the people that tore him apart, threw him under the bus, President Trump, threw our country under the bus, that were responsible for all of his most ardent supporters being deplatformed, defamed, censored, banned. A lot of people lost their income over it, etc. Instead of doing that and actually doing what's right and fighting for the American people, like you promised to, you care about cozying up to these enemies. And because they stroked your ego a little bit and said, oh, you look nice today, President Trump. Oh, your hair looks good. That was worth it? That was worth not fighting for the American people and not fighting to do something real and tangible about big tech censorship? Are you kidding me? Was his vanity more important in the short term than fighting for the American people and actually making a difference? This third world country, Nigeria and others, have actually put the best country in the world, America, to shame with their actions. They have done more about free speech, to fight free speech and censorship and big tech censorship, than America. And while President Trump was president, he's also admitting that while he was president, he could have done more. And maybe he should have done more, but he didn't do more because he chose not to. Not because his hands were tied, but because he chose not to, because he was impressed by a little nerd, by some tech nerds who are globalist, disgusting, Satanist pedophiles who want him dead and who want all of us dead, because they stroked his ego for a little bit and told him some nice, cozy things. That was worth it. That was worth being in the position that we are now. It honestly, it's I've been reeling all day since I've seen this message, and it's not like this is an anti-Trump bash, but this statement is gross.
I'm not a torch carrier for absolutely everything Donald J. Trump. I think he's the best president of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best president since Lincoln. I agree with, you know, the promises that he kept. I'm not a torch carrier for everything Donald J. Trump, and I believe that he has made some serious mistakes, but I think that that's a personnel decision of the people that are closest to him, Jared Kushner being the most perfect example. These people want to sabotage Donald J. Trump, and they're doing it by any means necessary. I was receiving some messages. I did a self-recorded video earlier today after I was banned from Facebook. Over 40,000 people that followed that page, and then hundreds of thousands others that see this program every single day as a result of shares. I mean, there are thousands of people that share every one of these broadcasts on Facebook. Go look at it. Go to the Stu Peter Show. Check it out. These people are no longer allowed to arm themselves with information. Now, after I did my self-recorded video, Deanna, I posted that self-recorded video inside of Telegram and on Instagram. One of the comments that I got on Instagram was, most people left 15 months ago. People don't go to Facebook anymore. They use these alternative platforms. And then this person named a few of the platforms. Great. That's great that there is Rumble. That's great that there's this Brighteon or whatever it's called. That's great that there's Frank Speech. I admire all of these people over at Gab. I admire these people for having a platform of real, true, free speech where people are able to take in information and then disseminate for themselves like big boys and girls, whether or not they want to credit that information, discredit that information, use it, apply it, or not. That is their right. It is also my right to say whatever I want, minus terroristic threats or that I'm going to blow up the world or, you know, burn down the White House, things like that. Obviously, you shouldn't say those things. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to accept that this is just the new normal. It's right. Not okay to just leave Facebook and say, yeah, you know what? You're right. They are tyrants. They are communists. I'll just go over here to this platform. Screw that. You need to step up right now and fight back against these people. It's criminal. Right.
We have to fight back because not only that, but we know Zuckerberg was responsible for pouring in $400 million into stealing the election, right? We know that. That's on record. $400 million, that's what they put in to steal this election and to overtake it, to secure it, whatever you want to call it. And then on top of that, they're responsible for restructuring our society. Them and Twitter, et cetera, are responsible for for restructuring what we think, how we feel, who we want to vote for, our values, and what information is pushed down, banned, and censored so we never see, like those doctors, America's frontline doctors or other doctors with real medical advice and expertise, and pushing up and elevating that kind of information that is actually false, harmful, and actually deadly for us. So they're responsible. They have blood on their hands. And then they have the election theft on their hands. These are the kinds of people like Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, et cetera, that are pulling off this heist and that are aiding and abetting this great reset that is a communist, Marxist restructuring of society ushered in under the guise of COVID-19. So it boggles my mind, that statement that Trump made, that he confessed basically to not doing anything about all of this, pretending to do something, but then behind our backs cozying up to these very people he pretended to fight with, fight against. And it feels to me selfish and narcissistic, no matter what. And again, I'm one of the most loyal Trump supporters, but this admission, it's not just about him. It's not just about him, whatever he feels this day of whether he wants to fight big tech or not. It's about all of us, the millions of us that have been suffering, right, under big tech's tyranny and not have an income or not had a platform, been banned, been censored, been fired, having our reputations or careers destroyed because of big tech. This is real. And it's not just about one man or one person, President Trump. It's about all of us. So right now, you know, there's an admission there in that statement that Trump failed in that way. At least he admitted it. But we can all somehow fight back if we band together and we don't allow this anymore. Yes, we need competitive social media networks. We need that. But it's pretty hard to do that when we have Apple, iTunes, and Google Play banning any alternative competition, right? So what are we going to do? How are we going to fight big tech censorship if we hardly have any leaders that are truly, truly willing to go and fight for it rather than just writing fancy books or tweets about it? We have to band together, and we have to all vacate these big tech platforms. We have to vacate them, and we have to find new places to congregate so that, yes, we have to take the competition away from them. We have to take the money out of their wallets. We cannot let these big techs rule our lives anymore.
I agree with that, and I feel like taking their money away, if every single person on the planet, every subscriber of Facebook were to leave there for 2 weeks, the catastrophic advertising decline would be bankrupting. It would be a bankruptcy-level event for those people, for Zuckerberg, and for that, the Silicon Valley tech giant. They're communists. It would be. It would be a big problem. But the problem with that is that you have so many people of a certain age group that know Facebook. It's all they know. If I were to try to tell my dad to go follow me in Telegram or get over on Gab, he'd be completely lost. They know Facebook. Yes. They hang out there. And those people will now no longer have the ability to see this information. I find it appalling. I find it disgusting. It's criminal. And I'm not going to just flee and run. I'm going to fight. We broadcast from Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis has promised that we can now hold these people civilly responsible, and we're going to go after them. We are going to go after them. It doesn't matter if it exhausts every last penny that I have. This is a platform of truth. If somebody says something on this program that is true, I will support it. If they say something that is not true, I will check them. If I don't know, I will go find the answers. Deanna Lorraine joins us each weekday here on The Stu Peters Show. Get more of her truths at DeannaLorraine.com. She's a best-selling author for a reason. Go get her book, Taking Back America. Coming up next on The Stu Peters Show, we will talk to a lawman with over 20 years of experience who's going to blow holes all over the critical race theory. That report is next. Stick around. Well, just as the globalist-funded fake news media does not want you to know the truth about the vaccine, they will also not report accurately about Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, or any other city that remains under siege. Obviously, democratically controlled cesspools of crime, filth, and corruption. Lawless criminals are still burning down businesses, assaulting, assassinating police officers, running the show inside the offices on the top floors of police departments as command staffs have been overrun, completely politicized by the loudest bullhorns. Here in Minneapolis, at ground zero of the big George Floyd lie, where a political prisoner called Derek Chauvin is still being held pending a negative appeal, will most likely spend the rest of his adult life behind bars. Thugs are rioting yet again over another career criminal. Same tactics, destruction, fires, assaults, looting, the whole gamut. The media remains completely silent. Extremist Muslim jihadist, domestic terrorist sympathizing anti-Semitic communist, and U.S. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is targeting the Minneapolis Police Department. She won't stop until the cops are completely absent from that city. Joining us now is a 20-year lawman and Stu Peters Show contributor. Ray Dietrich now joins us. Ray, how does this story end?
Well, Stu, Rep. Ilhan Omar is at it again. She's joined forces with 18 other elected Democrats, sent a letter to Biden's DOJ. As you know, they've already opened an investigation into Minneapolis PD the day after Chauvin was convicted. Now she's asking for seven more agencies to be investigated in the state. And I'll quote what she wrote to Garland. The May 2020 murder of George Floyd under the knee of MPD officer Derek Chauvin showed millions of people around the world how MPD policed and continues to police Black, Indigenous, and people of color in our community. However, recent years of similar law enforcement actions in Minnesota show that the murder of George Floyd is not unique. It is a pattern among many Minnesota law enforcement agencies. It is a pattern that repeats among many law enforcement agencies throughout the Twin Cities Metro. Across the state, Black Minnesotans are disproportionately arrested for low-level crimes and are disproportionately likely to experience violence at the hands of police. Well, this brings me to the point that the real big lie is that the police are racist killers. It's what they prop up and use. They've torn our country completely apart. Most people don't even recognize it after George Floyd, what they've done with this lie of a narrative. They use criminals like George Floyd and Dante Wright as martyrs in this fight to divide the country. And, you know, there's new info on Dante Wright. And guess what? A big shock. He wasn't a nice guy. There's new lawsuits that allege that he shot two people prior to being shot by Kim Potter. In May 2019, a 16-year-old was shot at a gas station where Wright allegedly pulled out a gun and shot him in the head. That boy is now in a vegetative state. 7 months later, he was charged with aggravated robbery after a young woman accused him of holding her at gunpoint, choking her, and demand she hand him hundreds of dollars, which sounds just like what George Floyd did, minus the pregnant woman. And then 3 weeks before his death, Wright allegedly shot a former classmate in his legs and stole his car. So these are the people that they're propping up and worshiping, anti-Maxine's showing up, the golden caskets. They're using straight thugs. And, you know, America's changed not because they expose racism. It's because of the lie that brought us to this point and getting people to buy into their nonsense.
The narrative, you know, the lie that you're speaking of, the all cops are racist killers lie. This, Ray Dietrich, is actually being placed inside of children's books, books that are being approved for kindergartners to use in a school setting, specifically in District 196 here in the state of Minnesota, approved by Governor Tim Walz. Tim Walz has approved this as educational materials, where an audio-video book is now being used in classrooms for kids as young as kindergarten age, 6 years old, where they are now being taught that all cops are racist killers.
Yeah, you hear it from everybody. You know, you've got Biden out there. You've got the entire DOJ, the left, the media, everyone with a bullhorn speaking this lie that police are racist killers. But they cherry pick the data, Stu. That's what they do. They don't tell the whole story. But if you look into these actual numbers, it tells an entirely different story that no one wants to confront. So I will bore you with the data that's the actual truth that you won't see out there anywhere else.
Please.
Right. You know, here's some facts when it comes to policing in America. There are 61 million contacts with police every single year, 10 million arrests out of 800,000 officers. And here's a percentage for you. 0.00016 of people who encounter the police are killed by them. Now, if you ask anyone on the street how many unarmed Black men were shot and killed in America last year, the answers range from hundreds to thousands. But the fact is it was 18. And just because it says unarmed does not mean they weren't assaulting with hands or feet. Okay, so that's part of the lie. But they use population percentages. The left uses cherry-picked data. You heard it with Omar with her disproportionate talk. Like, that's the speech they use to do it. And their big lie is, you know, blacks are 13% of the population, but they represent 24% of the fatal shootings. So that means, you know, blacks are disproportionately shot by the cops. But you have to look further into those numbers to see the truth, which they failed to do. And the truth is, you know, blacks make up 55% of the homicide offenders in this country. And that's a stat from 2019. And 91% of blacks are killed by other blacks.
And the other thing that fails, and sorry to interrupt you here, but another fail of Ilhan Omar is that she fails to actually go boots on the ground into the communities that she's talking about. Now, being from Minneapolis, I am ground zero. I have had boots on the ground in that community for a period of almost two decades, where I chased people who were wanted violent criminals. Okay, in these communities, which, by the way, on the north side of Minneapolis or on the south side of Minneapolis, if she wants to talk about indigenous people, Native Americans, it's predominantly 90-some percent at Little Earth in that community are Native Americans. On the north side of Minneapolis, I would venture to guess, and I don't have the exact statistic here, but from being there, my perception is over 95% are African American or black people. Okay, the percentage, the likelihood of an officer having an interaction with anybody who's not black in that community is about 5%. So the overwhelming number of people who are going to be arrested there by virtue are going to be black. The other thing that Ilhan Omar doesn't understand is that the black community is the most violent community in the world. The black community, the African-American community specifically, uses violence to handle their situations. It's proven by data. I tend to agree with Larry Elder. This is not a problem of the police. It's a problem of lack of fathers in the home in America, specifically in every single Democratic city where black-on-black crime and black-perpetuated violent crimes are out of control. I don't have to name them. Everybody knows who they are. Just look at the paper over this last weekend and tell me how many people were shot and killed in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago. It's no difference. Ilhan Omar sits behind a gate at her home after having ballot harvested an election and has no idea what's going on the ground here. That's the fact.
Yeah, they have no idea. I mean, there are studies that prove that it's not about the race of the person which predicts how often they'll be shot by the police. It's about the crime in the location that the incidents occur. If you break it down by county, that will predict what race is most likely to be shot in those areas, just like you're saying. So if you have a high crime neighborhood that's mostly blacks and mostly violent, and, you know, with the numbers that I've given you, many of them are, of course you're going to have a disproportionate amount of black men shot by the police because they're out there committing the crimes. What people don't want to face and what they don't want to actually speak about because they'll lose votes is that we don't have a policing problem. Like you said, we have a lack of fathership problem, but we have a massive problem in the black community with violent crime. I think Chicago was 55 shot this last weekend, but nobody wants to address that. Nobody wants to actually solve that problem. And they're going out of their way to restrict proactive policing instead of actually dealing with it. They're going out of their way to destroying the criminal justice system from the inside and not allowing anyone to actually go to jail for the crimes they commit instead of confronting this problem of violence in these communities. Yeah. Because it doesn't sound good and doesn't get votes.
When I am on the street or when I'm on the phone with friends, and I'm talking to them about this, and I mention this, the response is always, well, it just doesn't fit the narrative, right? It doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the Black Lives Matter narrative. It doesn't fit the globalist narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative of the fake news media. What narrative is that? What is it that they want everybody to believe? And what is their ultimate goal here by allowing black communities to remain on fire, for young and innocent black people to continue to be executed, shot in their homes, playing basketball on the street, playing soccer in the backyard, drive-bys, all kinds of bullets ending up in the heads of innocent young black people in all of the communities in these cities that we've aforementioned? What is the narrative? What is it that they're trying to achieve by covering this up and allowing this lawlessness to continue in these communities?
You know, it's their political theater to secure their power and continue to get the votes by creating victims rather than empowering people with the truth that there's violent crime problems and maybe you should support the police and defunding them is going to hurt you. This is the lie they tell so that they can blame somebody to get votes. It's pandering at its best, and that's all it's ever been. It's just on a higher level now with the media all in, everyone on the left all in, and that's all you see. Is you don't see the truth of law enforcement. You see they cherry pick cases. They spread it to create rage and votes because this is just about power. And this is the easiest way for them to get it.
Nancy Pelosi is who I immediately think of when you mention the word pandering. I picture her and Chuck Schumer kneeling on the ground in the Capitol building of our country wearing kente cloths that I guarantee you she doesn't know what tribe they represent, but it doesn't matter to her. And these deaths of these black people, they don't matter to her either. Black lives do not matter to Nancy Pelosi or to any of these liberal Democrats or to the group, the political organization Black Lives Matter, a for-profit business that donated hundreds of millions of dollars for Democratic candidates. Think about that. Let that sink in. The question that I would have for all of these people is, are they going to attend the funerals, the gold casket processions, the horse and carriage drawn white linen, multiple worldwide televised funerals for kids who are dying from injuries relating to the vaccine that they're pushing? Well, wait.
No, they don't care about that, Stu. You know the truth. They don't care about any of those things. It's not even real outrage. It's just simply disgusting pandering, and it's tearing our country apart. If we lose law enforcement and more officers are leaving the departments and they're finding it harder to hire, they're going to hire people that shouldn't be cops. And it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like they're saying, hey, the police are bad, but we're going to make it so bad we can't hire anybody but people who shouldn't be cops anymore, and it'll just please the mob even more. So it's a real mess out there.
Which is a topic for a whole nother show. We're out of time. Find him at thinbluelinetv.com. Ray Dietrich, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Stu.